Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. I don't think this must be about the seventh Bible study in the Lord's Prayer. I don't think we need to read the Lord's Prayer all over again. We come to the bit tonight in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Notice, it doesn't say, and lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. So you see, there's a link between the two. Lead us not into temptation, but even if temptation has to come in the wisdom of God, deliver us from evil. Some translations would have it, deliver us from the evil one. We've been pointing out that in the second part of the Lord's Prayer, beginning in verse 11, we come to the section of the prayer that deals with us and our needs. Not me and my needs, but us and our needs. You see, the Lord's Prayer forbids selfishness. We are not allowed to pray for I, my, me, and mine. Well, of course, we are allowed to pray but to take all our needs to the Lord, but we must never forget our responsibility to pray for others. And in this section about us and our needs, as I said the other week, there are three clear emphases. First of all, with regard to sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread. A phrase that indicates our total, our constant, and our ongoing dependence on God. Not a single day dare we try to be independent. Not a single part of any day. Our dependence is total. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, and so express our dependence upon God, our attitude must be the attitude of faith and trust. God wants to do this. He's not reluctant to do this. And therefore our attitude must be one of faith and trust, not an attitude of doubt. The second main emphasis after sustenance is forgiveness. Forgive us our debt. Some translations or else in Luke's account, it's trespasses. And in the next, in verse 15, it's trespasses. I think in the life and work this week, this month, in that bit where questions are being answered, and some ridiculous answers to the questions, that's by the way. But there's the sweeping statement that the word translated debts and trespasses is the same Greek word. It isn't. But it doesn't make any difference. Debts, trespasses, sins. All to do with wrongs, all to do with what is owed to God. So just as with the first emphasis was sustenance, so the second is forgiveness, and again, our total and our ongoing dependence on God. We live by the mercy of God. And because this is so, and we pray, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, our attitude to God is the attitude in which our main concern is that we should walk in the light with God. Walking in the in fellowship with. Every time I use the phrase walking in the light with God, the phrase that comes right into my mind is walking out in the open with God. You know how sometimes we say of each other, I wish Wish they'd be open with me. Well, God says that as well. But if our attitude is to walk in the light with God, to walk in fellowship with God, our attitude to others has to be an attitude that shows the same kindness to others as God has shown to us. Remember, we read the story about the two debtors and the man who owed millions and was forgiven. Then he found his friend who owed him a few pounds, and he took him by the throat. There was no forgiveness. And the Lord was angry, and the Lord reversed the forgiveness. It's a parable. God doesn't reverse his forgiveness. But the Lord in the story reversed his forgiveness and said to the man, all right, if that's your attitude, prison until you pay back every penny that you owe. Our attitude to others must show the same kindness to others as God has shown to us. Make the same allowances for others as God makes for us. You know, sometimes we're tired and we say things to God that we don't really mean. But he makes allowance. Well, we've to do that to others. And we've got to show, because we are forgiven sinners, we have got to show with others the same kind of patience as God has shown to us. And the word patience in the New Testament and Old Testament is very often the word long-suffering, which has a lot to do with putting up with people. But just think how God has to put up with us. And he doesn't weary of us. He doesn't write us off. Now, because he has shown that kind of patience in forgiving us, we've got to show that kind of attitude to others. Now, I've written down here in my notes with NB, note well, we must never lose the sense of wonder at forgiveness. He really does forgive. And the sad thing is we can almost take it for granted. And then we come from sustenance and forgiveness to deliverance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, this is another prayer that must be prayed from the position of faith. In all our praying, you see, well, indeed, in all our living, we have to be very clear in our minds that God is for us. He's not against us. Now, that may seem to be a very obvious thing to say, but you know, we forget. Put it like, God's on our side. Astonishing. Why he should want to be is a miracle. But then you see, God is the God of miracle. Remember Romans chapter 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? Or as it could read, since God is for us. Now there's quite a thought. We often get uptight and feel that all people are against us. But God is for us. He is. The Bible says it. The cross of Jesus Christ says it. And it is because God is for us and not against us that we have the faith to pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, when we pray this prayer, we are being reminded of our vulnerability. It's so easy to say, oh, I would never do that. It's a very, very dangerous thing to say. because God listens and the devil listens. And there's a verse in the Bible, in Corinthians, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So this phrase in the prayer, this petition in the prayer with regard to deliverance, lead us not into temptation, is a reminder of our vulnerability. It is also a reminder of the danger of temptation. I don't know why we call it a children's hymn. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Now, temptation is not sin. No matter how horrendous the temptation is, the kind of thing that you shake your head and how if I'm a Christian, how could I possibly be thinking things like that? Temptation is not sin, because Jesus was tempted. He really was, to an extent that none of us have ever really experienced, because he was tempted and resisted the full pressure of evil. We always collapse or surrender or give in long before the full pressure of evil has hit us. So here we have a reminder of our vulnerability, a reminder of the danger of temptation, and the need to be aware of our weak areas. I think that's quite important. For some people, the biggest danger in their Christian lives lies in getting too tired. And so often we don't guard against that. The great danger for some Christians is in certain kinds of company. You see, when Peter was sitting at the fire in the courtyard of the high priest's house, he had no intention of denying Christ. He was there because, well, he had said to Jesus, I'll stay close. Well, Jesus had been arrested. He was in there in Caiaphas' house. There was Peter as close as he could possibly get. He had no intention of denying his Lord. But in that kind of company, Peter was always vulnerable. Now, I wonder if you and I really know what our danger areas are. And again, when we pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation, we are being counseled to remember that there is a devil, which we tend to forget, and which we are going to be reminded about tomorrow evening, because we're going to look at the very last few verses of Romans chapter 16, because there's reference there to the devil, and the sermon begins, I can't get the exact word, but something like this: for a long time we have said very little about the devil from the pulpit. Quite a while. So it's high time that we did. Lead us not into temptation. I've mentioned already that temptation is not sin. We know that from the experience of our Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you, as I've reminded you many times over a lot of years, the wise words of the Salvation Army officer who said, sometimes you have temptation but no opportunity to sin. Sometimes you have opportunity to sin but no temptation. But God help you if you have temptation and opportunity at the same time. I would say, God help us if we have temptation and opportunity and the inclination at the same time. But now when we pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation, we have to be very, very clear that God does not tempt or entice us to evil. Now there are two references, so we better look them up. The Epistle of James, chapter 1, at verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, that is, tempted to evil, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. It's a great statement, that, about God, isn't it? Evil has absolutely no interest or attraction as far as God is concerned. God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one to evil, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. The other reference, a little bit further over, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, at verse 11. Beloved, and remember, it's Peter who's saying this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, I beseech you, as aliens and exiles, pilgrims and strangers, to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Of course, while we're in this world, we'll always be faced with temptation. Sometimes we'll say, like with people like Abraham. Oh yes, I remember in my earlier days, oh, I came an awful cropper in that area of life, but oh, I've got over that now. And then Abraham, 20 years later, discovered he hadn't got over it. Lead us not into temptation. God does not entice us to or tempt us with evil. On the other hand, God promises certain things. So turn back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, at verse 6. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, at verse 6, reference to Old Testament stories. Now, these things are warnings for us not to desire evil, that is, not to be tempted in the direction of evil, not to desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. We must not indulge in immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put the Lord to the test, as some of them. You see, they were arrogant. They became careless. Oh, God will keep me safe. Not if we are choosing to go the way of temptation. We must not put the Lord to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by servants, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, this next verse. Remember, we've prayed, lead us not into temptation. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now that's a promise. Lead us not into temptation. But always, if temptation comes, whether it comes from man or from devil, God will see to it that there is the way of escape. And sometimes the way of escape is to clear out of the situation. Sometimes it means simply saying to people, I'm sorry, but I'll need to go. And you just go. It's a great promise. But over against that, I don't think we need to turn up this reference. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. It's the story of Gethsemane, where Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, whom he himself had taken into Gethsemane, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. In a sense, they were on holy ground. They were very close to the Lord. They wouldn't be tempted to any gross, ugly evil. But then you see, they fell asleep. They weren't awake. They weren't watching. They weren't praying. And therefore, they were in danger. Lead us not into temptation. We mentioned that reference in James, that God does not tempt us to evil. But remember the second half of the petition, but deliver us from evil. So we go back to the epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. Now, it doesn't say temptations, but trials, difficulties, always bring with them the temptation to doubt. Trials and difficulties always bring with them the danger of the temptation to be afraid. So James, this very practical man, says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But as you well know, because I've told you, I've written into the margin of my Bible, J.B. Phillips' translation of these verses. When all kinds of trials and temptations come crowding into your life, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. Mind you, it doesn't say here that the trials come from God. Sometimes they do. Where was it I read? It was an American commentary on Romans, I can't quite remember. Tribulations and trials are God's gracious gifts to help us on to glory. And sometimes God says, oh, they've got stuck there. They're laboring up the heavenly hill with weary feet and slow. They've lost the impetus and the thrill and the anticipation of glory. I'll need to help them. So he sends a load of trouble. And of course that makes us pray. And that makes us aware of God. And that makes us look up. I better not linger any longer with these verses in James. Turn over again to the first epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, at verse 5. breaking into the passage. You who by God's power are guarded, I prefer the old version, who are kept through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, the genuineness of your faith may redound to praise and glory and honor. Turn back to Romans chapter 5. I've hinted at this in what I've been saying. Romans chapter 5 at verse 3. We rejoice in the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You will gather from all these references that studying this one phrase of the Lord's Prayer that we repeat so easily, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, has caused me to think of a great many different things. I've written down in my notes here examples of temptations. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 14. Here's an example of temptation. It has to do with wrong choices and wrong relationships and wrong commitments. Do not be mismated with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and iniquity? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Verse 17, therefore come out from them, and be separate from them unto me, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The temptation to get involved on levels, in activities, and with people that we shouldn't be involved with. Turn back to the Old Testament, to the second book of Samuel, chapter 11. We'll mention this tomorrow evening at verse 1. Here's another area or example of temptation. Now, this is not when David was a young man. This is not the time when David was fighting many, many battles to establish God's work and guard God's people. This is later. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David, who was the leader of the people, didn't lead them. David remained at Jerusalem. And here you see is an area of temptation when we hold back from spiritual duty and from spiritual service. And it is very easy to do. Usually on a Saturday morning at breakfast time, we pray for the prayer meeting and pray that God will bring those who should be there to the prayer meeting. Because you see, it is so easy just to let spiritual duty slip. Turn over now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 28. Now Jesus is speaking to the inner group of his disciples. You are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The earlier verses, 24 to 27, the disciples were discussing who was the greatest, who was the most spiritual. Verse 31, Simon, Simon. I wonder if Jesus just caught sight of Simon's face and maybe saw in Simon's eyes, Simon's thoughts, kingdom. I'll have a pretty big one. Simon, not Peter. Not Peter the Rock, Simon the old name. The Simon that you used to be. I don't like speaking about what we used to be because it frightens me. I wouldn't like Jesus to be referring me to what I used to be. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, or Satan has desired to have you, or as some commentators tell me, the word really means, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has got you for asking. Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthened your brethren. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you three times deny that you know me. The temptation in the realm of overconfidence spiritually. Think, for example, of the care which, to some extent or another, all of us exercise with regard to our health and our diet and our safety in the home, and our safety when we're out in the streets. We need to learn to take the same safety seriously with regard to our Christian lives. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I remember rightly one of the last times, was it in a Bible study, I think it was, when we came to this, I used words something like this, lead us not into temptation. Means, Lord, if necessary, frustrate us, but oh, don't let us go wrong. Of course, we have to remind ourselves, it's not lead me not into lead us not into temptation. And that means, in a very real sense, in prayer and in practical terms, we are our brother's keeper. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If necessary, we're saying to God, if it's necessary, If you see that it's necessary, then let us be exposed to temptation and to trial and to danger and opposition. Oh God, if you consider it necessary, God, shake us to the very foundations of our being, in order to deliver us from evil. Because you see, sometimes we don't recognize evil, and we don't recognize just how dangerous it is for us. This prayer has all to do with leading us not into temptation, but correcting us and keeping us from wrong. There's a great verse, we haven't time to turn it up, in Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy law. Yes, I'll tell you again where it is. You can look it up when you go home. Psalm 119, verse 67. If we are being deceived by the devil or ensnared by the devil or by some evil thing or some evil person without knowing it. Sometimes, you know, it's really quite difficult being a minister. Take my word for it. Sometimes you become aware of situations. Sometimes you become aware of people who are too much in each other's company. Christians, I mean. Sometimes you're aware of people becoming involved in certain activities. Sometimes you become aware of certain enthusiasms that are stirring in. And sometimes you become aware of certain reluctances. And becoming aware, you realize that there's nothing you can say because the people concerned are not aware of any danger. But I tell you, it makes a minister pray. And so if we are being deceived or ensnared by the devil or by any person or thing of evil, not knowing it, this petition in the Lord's Prayer is saying, oh God, you take whatever action is needed to keep me right. Sometimes we don't often say it out open because we feel that people might think we are not very spiritual. But in our heart of hearts, we say, oh, I don't know why this is happening to me. And God says, ah, but I know. I'm keeping you from evil. I'm keeping you from things and people and tendencies and directions that would harm you. When I wrote that down in my notes, my heart, my mind and my heart went instantly to Pilgrim's Progress. And Pilgrim was well on his way to the Celestial City. And then there was Bypath Meadow. If ever a wee path looked safe, it was Bypath. If ever a person said, well, that, surely that can't do me any harm. Over the stile he went, and on he went. Who rescued Pilgrim and got him back in the straight? Oh, you say, God. No. Who rescued Pilgrim and got him back onto the straight and narrow? Giant Despair. And Giant Despair gave Pilgrim the fright of his life. And I think when he got back to the main road, I'll be more careful in the future. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us
from evil. It's a good prayer, isn't it? And there are the three prayers for us: sustenance, forgiveness, and deliverance. And when we say the Lord's Prayer, it doesn't take long, does it? Sometimes when this minister says the Lord's Prayer, he misses out a bit. So I'm told. Still can't remember missing out the bit, but I did. Do you see how much there is? Do you see why Jesus said to his disciples, when you pray, pray like this? It was good advice, wasn't it? Let's sing our other hymn before we go to prayer.